Well, good morning all. You can see by the smile on your face that I'm a happy person today. My grandchildren have come to visit and they're going to be with us for the next almost 2 weeks. And we already had some great time together and we're looking forward to more wonderful occasions together. But we're in the book of Hebrews and we're enjoying and just relishing in all that the wonderful book of Hebrews has to teach us. So let's have a word of prayer as we commit the session to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are such a wonderful Savior. You are so trustworthy in so many ways. And so we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory today. We just pray again that you would open this passage to us and draw us into a deeper understanding of yourself. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. Well, we're in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16, and then the first 10 chapters of chapter 5. Our series is called It's All About Jesus, and certainly today is all about Jesus. So let me read the passage for us. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters relating to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. That is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself this glory of becoming the high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he said in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And were designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. An important question today. Who are you trusting to make it possible for you to enter God's presence? Of course, the work of the high priest is to do that, is to bring people into the presence of God himself. So who are you trusting? Everybody wants to meet somebody famous or important. You just need to look at the popularity of celebrity shows. Now, even if you detest celebrity shows like I do, I'm sure there is somebody very important that you'd like to meet. Now, I'm sure the majority of the world would like to meet God at some part time. The problem is, most of us can hardly get an appointment to see our city mayor, let alone a minister in the government. And most definitely, we would probably never be able to see the president of the country. So, how can we get to see God? Well, the vast majority of world religions believe and teach that you can get to see God through your own efforts. You've just got to work at it, work hard at it, and eventually God will let you into his presence. I know Many of us who are trying to get to God through our own efforts realize that what we were doing was never good enough to deserve being in the presence of a holy God. So, the passage today deals with this vital question of who are we trusting to see God? And I want to answer it by saying this. This is my title for this morning. 10 reasons why I only need Jesus to encounter God. 10 reasons. It's a long sermon. No, just 10 reasons, but I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. Number one, we only need Jesus to encounter God because, friends, Jesus has destroyed the barrier separating us from God. Verse 14 says, therefore, since we have such a high priest who has gone through. See, friends, there was a barrier. Each year, the high priest in Israel wanted to enter into the presence of God, enter into the Holy of Holies, to pour blood on the altar to ask God for the forgiveness of their sins. They would tie a rope around his ankle, just in case God struck him dead while he was in there, in this place called the Holy of Holies. But the Holy of Holies was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain. And nobody could enter there except the high priest once a year. But listen what happened when Jesus died. In Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51, it says this, and when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split. Friends, ever since the Garden of Eden, ever since man sinned and God has been separated from man because of man's sin, there's been a barrier, and the barrier was preventing us from truly entering into God's presence. But friends, Jesus has destroyed the barrier. The curtain is torn in two, both physically and metaphorically. Secondly, we only need Jesus to encounter God because Jesus knows the way home. Verse 14 continues and says, therefore, since we have a high priest who has gone through the heavenlies. Well, you see, the normal high priest entered into a place which only represented the presence of God. In the middle of the Ark of the Covenant, between two carved angels, was a place to sit. That place was called the mercy seat. It was the place that represented the presence of God. Friends, why do we only need Jesus? Because, friends, Jesus hasn't only been into a place that represented God. He has come from the actual presence of God. We don't need anything else. He's made it possible for us. We can enter into heaven because of what he has done for us. He knows the way home. He's been there. He's seen it. We can trust in him if we want to encounter God. Number three, we only need Jesus to encounter God, friends, because Jesus is a family member. Verse 14 carries on and says, therefore, since you have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavenlies, Jesus, the Son of God. Now our granddaughter's visiting us, as I said. And when you look at my granddaughter, my darling, dearest Isla granddaughter, you see my daughter. Just like when you look at my son, you see me. But you know, people would often rather speak to one of my family members than speaking to me directly. They know that if they speak to Patricia, I'm going to get the message. Friends, Jesus is the Son of God. If anybody can take us into the presence of God Himself, it's His Son. You don't need anybody else. We've got a family member. We've got somebody on the inner circle. Now, some, like Catholics, may say that if you want to talk to Jesus, you've got to talk to Mary. Well, friends, I believe that's not true. That's false theology. The great difference is this, friends. Mary is no more a relative of Jesus than any of us who believe. For Mary, blessed as she was, and let's not deny that, she was incredible. What an incredible reality of being chosen to be the one who brought Jesus into the world. Blessed as she was, she still carried the sin of Adam in her body. Jesus was not part of her body, he was in her body. And like the rest of us, she too is in need of redemption. You know, at some point in time, Jesus went with Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem. And when they were there on their way back, Mary and Joseph looked for Jesus and they found he wasn't there. And then they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And friends, Jesus made it very clear to them at that point in time that God was his father. God was his parent, and they were not. Friends, Jesus is a family member of God Almighty. Mary is not. You don't need Mary, but certainly you need Jesus if you want to encounter God. Number four, we only need Jesus to encounter God because Jesus knows how difficult it is to enter into the presence of God. Listen to what it says in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Friends, the best person to talk to when you want a solution to a problem is somebody who has solved the problem themselves before. You know, book learning is great. And I never want to decry the importance of learning from a book. But let me tell you, I'd much rather listen to somebody who has experience. Because for me, experience counts in the end. And Jesus, friends, knows the struggle it is to avoid sin, the struggle it is to stay pure. And he did it. He knows how difficult it is. But friends, we can turn to him because he can sympathize with us. Number five, we only need Jesus to encounter God because, friends, Jesus is fully qualified to enter. That verse 15 carries on and says, he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. In all the descriptions of encounters with God recorded in the Bible, The one thing they all have in common is this, friends, a sense of holiness and purity. Adam felt ashamed. Noah, who sinned. Isaiah, who felt like his lips were unclean. Jeremiah and Jonah and Thomas, who fell at the feet of Jesus, cried out, "My Lord and my God." The Apostle John, when Jesus revealed himself, even although John had spent all the years with Jesus, when he encountered him in the book of Revelation, friends, it's something very different. You see, friends, Jesus is the only one without sin. That's what holiness means. That's what purity means. Jesus, friends, is the only one qualified to enter the presence of God, for he's the only one who's ever walked the face of this earth without sin. Number six, we only need Jesus to encounter God because, friends, Jesus has permanently opened the way for us to do that. Verse 16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." That little phrase, "let us approach," should be translated, "let us approach constantly." Friends, Jesus has opened the door. The door's not shut anymore. It's open. We can go anytime, as often as we want. You see how important this is, friends, because for the Jewish people, going into the presence of God was only something that happened once a year on the Day of Atonement. But the writer to the book of Hebrews reminds us, the door is open. You can come anytime. You can come with confidence, friends, because there you will find mercy and find grace. Number seven, we only need Jesus to encounter God because Jesus was chosen by God to open the door. The first few verses of chapter 5 says, every high priest is selected from among men. But verse 5 says this, so Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father. Friends, Jesus was chosen by God to open the door for us to be able to encounter God himself. The most famous verse in the Bible teaches that God is the author. God is the one who opened the door. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, God chose Jesus. If God chose him, surely we should choose him to introduce us to the God who chose him. He didn't choose anybody else. He didn't choose Muhammad. He didn't choose Joseph Smith. Friends, he chose Jesus. And only of Jesus did he say, you are my son, in whom I am well pleased. Number eight, we only need Jesus to encounter God because, friends, Jesus is an eternal king and priest. Chapter 5 and verse 6 says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'm going to look at this a little bit more depth later on in our study. But I want you just to say the order of Melchizedek is different from the Levitical preachers, of which Aaron was one of them. We're going to look at this later on, but suffice to say, the clue to who Jesus is as a priest lies in that name, well, Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek, friends, is made up of two Hebrew names or words. It's the word Melech, which means a king, and it's the word Zedek, which means righteous, one who is righteous. So, friends, Jesus is both king and priest. There's nobody else like that in the Bible except Melchizedek and Jesus. They're the only ones who are both a king and a priest. Number 9. We only need Jesus to encounter God because, friends, Jesus displayed that he knew God while he was even on earth. Verse 7 of chapter 5 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. See, friends, Jesus showed us God. You know, when you're looking for somebody, man, look for somebody who can clearly give you the evidence. There's so many people who claim to do miracles these days, but man, so many of them are just liars. They're false. Friends, don't believe everybody who claims to be a miracle worker. But Jesus walked the face of this earth and actually did miracles. He himself is the greatest miracle of all, for he said, 3 days he'll be in the tomb. The son of Jonah, he would be in the tomb for 3 days and rise again. And we've just celebrated that over this last Easter period. Jesus, friend, made God known. Listen to what it says in John 17. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known to them, that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Friends, Jesus showed that he knew God while he was on earth. But he's already shown us that he knows God. We can trust him to introduce us to God so that when we encounter God, we can do so with confidence. Finally, we only need Jesus to encounter God because, friends, Jesus is the only source of eternal salvation. Verse 8 says this, though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who would obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Friend, if you want the genuine article, if you want the purest thing, go to the source. Don't go to somebody who's a secondhand. Go to the source, friends. He's the one who can introduce you and help you encounter God. I know who I'm trusting to take me into the presence of God. Do you? Who are you trusting to take you into the presence of God? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we need no one else but Jesus. It's all about Jesus, Lord. Nobody else can take us into your presence. Thank you that you've given us Jesus. For he alone is the one we need to trust. And Lord, I trust in him. And I pray that everybody who watches this, Lord, will learn to trust Jesus and Jesus alone for their salvation. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go and rejoice in Jesus today. Lord bless you.